Folklife stage, and of course we have the Folklife tent here adjoining. It is Sunday morning, so everybody's moving a little slow, maybe 5 minutes late here. But I'll let this group introduce themselves, but I will say we have some very fine Indian dance this morning. What's that? They're apologizing. Okay. All right, well, welcome to the Folklife stage, and we're, of course, part of the Florida Department of State and partially funded by the National Endowment for the Humanities. And I'll turn it over to our first group. Over the mic, come on.
Okay. Hi and namaste. Thank you for making it here so early on a Sunday morning. We've just driven all the way from Tallahassee, so we might be a little, you know, panting when we start dancing, but we should be there. How many of you have seen Indian dance before? You have seen it, I know. Well, we have a really, really long historic tradition with Indian dance, and most of the traditional dance forms that we do are in the Vedas, or the Hindu scriptures, which dates to about 5000 BC, maybe a little older. Date is always debatable in history. But most of the pure classical dance forms, which is what you're going to see this morning, is inspired and is pretty much closely followed from the Vedic times, which is almost 5000 years ago, as I said. The forms that you're going, and there are several different classical forms in India. Every state almost has their own version. Like, you have 50 states here, we have about 26 states. And each state has their own, classical form, their folk forms, which are folk forms are sort of more rural, more recent than the classical forms. And those are, usually related to the cycles in nature and harvest and weddings and childbirth and to celebrate other occasions. And then there's the third part of Indian dance, which is very much contemporary, and it's inspired by Bollywood, which is the equivalent of Hollywood, which is our, we make more movies than Hollywood each year. A lot of, Hindi movies is a big, big thing. So a lot of dances are these days inspired by that. And if you want to see some folk forms and some Bollywood, which is contemporary, come back here at 12 o'clock and we'll be doing some of that. But we're going to start off with some classical forms. And our first dancer is Preeti Sanjeev. She's been dancing for, I don't know how many years. She's a trained classical Bharatanatyam dancer. And Bharatanatyam is one of the oldest forms, and Bharatanatyam literally means dance of India. And it was done earlier in a lot of temples, and so a lot of poses that, she will make are very sculpturesque, because they sort of look like the sculptures that are on Hindu temples and deities. And most of our stories, so the dancer in India is a storyteller. So if dance is a language, the gestures and everything, the hand mudras that we do, the hand gestures and the expressions are the words. You can look at it that way. And so Bharatanatyam is one of the oldest forms, and she's gonna present a song which is in Tamil, which is from the southern part of India. So, and if you have any questions about any of this, I would be happy to answer it later on. Thank you, and thanks for coming.
ಸಾನಿ ದಬ ಮಸ ಸಮ ಮಾಮ ದದ ದಸ ಸಾಮ ತೋಮ್ 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 ಮಬ ಸಾನಿ ದಬ ಮಸ ಸಮ ಮಾಮ ದದ ದಸ ಸಾಮ ತರಿಗಿಡತಿಲ್ಲಾನ ದಗದಿ ತರಿಗಿಡ ಜನ್ಮ ಸಿಮಿತ ಜನ್ಮ ಸಿಮಿತ ತರಿಗಿಡ ತೋಮ್ 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 ಮಬ ಸಾನಿ ದಬ ಮಸ ಅಂಗನ ಮೌಲಿ ಮಣಿ ತಿಂಗಳಾಸೆ ಚಾಲುಶೀಲೆ ನಾಗವಲ್ಲಿ ಮನೋನ್ಮಣಿ ರಾಮನಾಥನ್ ತೇಡುಂಬಾಲೆ ಮಾಣಿಕ್ಯವಾಸಗ ಮೊಳಿಗ
questions about any of the gestures or why some things are done? Yeah, well so it's, you know, it's three levels. So at first we, yeah, so at first we sort of pray to, you know, whoever is the underworld or, you know, any powers that are below our you know, or maybe even kids who are like younger than us, or you know, people who are sort of lower than the dancer itself. And then there's the people who are equal, so it's the audience or you know, her contemporaries or her peers. And then there's the God and her guru, which is the teacher. So for us, the teacher is equivalent to God, because you can't see God. That's why we have a teacher, is what we say in Sanskrit. So it's three levels, yeah. So she opens with, you know, blessing the floor, and then blessing the, you know, everybody in between, and then thanking you for coming, I guess. So, thank you. Any other questions about gestures or facial expressions? Are a very important part. Everything from the eyebrows to the neck to the shoulders, eyes. Oh, she's angry. This is anger. One way of showing anger. It's a storyteller, so. Okay. Yeah, that's an interesting question, because yesterday, same time here, we had a discussion on hand gestures, and you know, we had a Hawaiian dancer, a flamenco dancer, a Middle Eastern dancer, and me, and we were talking of what hand gestures really mean in different dance forms. And in Indian dance, we have about 28 mudras, as we call it, hasta mudras, which are for single hand, and then there are 24 more for both hands. And basically, you can show anything with, you know, almost anything with, you can't show a computer, I guess, because it wasn't, you know, created for that. But like this would be water or sea, you know. This would be a flower blooming. This would be a woman, a man with a bow and an arrow. So he's pulling out his arrow from his whatever. Baby, of course. Huh? Oh, the fish. The peacock. Ah. What is this? Deer. This. Peacock. National bird of India, so we have to have one for that. So that's what it means. So there are a lot of and most of the dancers, they train for probably about 12 years. And we live with the guru, you know, and we go to school too, but we spend a long, long time with the guru. We go in the morning, stay there. He or she feeds you, bathes you, you know, clothes you when you're young, does everything. And so, you get bonded with that guru, and you keep dancing for all 12 years, and then they let you ascend the stage. So we have a ceremony where we ascend the stage for the first time, and it's called Arangetram. And I don't know when you did your Arangetram. Long time back. Yeah, so that's how it is. Yeah. That's for rhythm. So if you've noticed, there are three aspects to Indian dance. One is pure dance, as we call it, which is just footwork. Just, you know, different things. And that goes with the rhythm of the song. And then there's the facial gestures. I mean, facial expressions. And then there are hand gestures. So combination of all of that. The bindi. Well, we had a stall there yesterday explaining it. In dance, it's symbolic. You know, any woman wears it. But we believe that it protects the sixth sense of a woman. And, you know, what the sixth sense is different to different people.
Like the mind's eye?
The mind's eye, the third eye. You know, it's even scientifically, you know, there's a lot of nerve endings there. And when people do acupressure and acupuncture, you know, that's an important spot. And we just believe that, you know, women are endowed with a lot of intuition or instinct. And, you know, to each woman it's different. But some people ask me, why don't men have to wear a bindi? I don't know if they have that sixth sense. I'm not being sexist, but, you know, I don't know. But men don't usually wear it, unless it's for ceremonial occasions. Sometimes at the wedding, they wear a red long one. But married women usually wear a big red one. I'm not married, but for dance, we wear a big red one. But otherwise, only married women wear big red ones, and then unmarried women wear little black ones. And I'm trying to see if anybody has that. Shweta? You wearing? Oh, she's not wearing one. Okay, but these days it's, you know, it's cosmetic. It's if you're wearing a blue dress, you wear a blue bindi. If you're wearing a green dress. So, but, and now it's all, you know, earlier, like my mom and all, they still use vermilion for red, turmeric powder, and they make a paste and they apply it. These days it's... Yep. So things change a lot, especially in India. It's just changing so much these days. So that's some of the... Yeah. Most of the time the audience is not this close, and then when you're far away, you want to make sure they see each of your gestures. So it's sort of an exaggeration. So everything is exaggerated in dance, right? Slightly. the expressions are, the movement. Instead of walking like this, we'll walk like this, right? Instead of, you know, just sitting like this, we'll sit like this. So people sort of see that transformation. So it's part of makeup, but it doesn't have any religious or significance. It probably does, but I'm not aware of it. But that's what I think it is. Okay. All right. Thank you. And any of us are open to answering any questions later. The next dance that you're going to see is called Kuchipudi. The dance form is slightly different. If you notice, the costume is sort of similar. It's track three. The costume that Preeti is wearing and I'm wearing is sort of similar. But there are still, and the dance is sort of similar too, but there are subtle nuances that are sort of very different. And Kuchipudi is also a really old dance form, and it originated in a village called Kuchipudi in a state called Andhra Pradesh. And same thing, you can look for, so now that you've seen this and I've spoken about it, you can look for footwork, facial expressions, and hand gestures, and how they all blend in together. One thing I want to mention about this dance is that it's not, I mean, it's sort of choreographed, but it's not completely choreographed. So I'm going to just try and improvise as it goes. So it's not, you know, it's not in the Vedas that I have to do it this way. So. This song is about Lord Krishna and some devotees of his who are sort of, in awe of Lord Krishna and the kind of things, the powers. Most of you are aware of Krishna, right? He has the flute and he's got a peacock feather, and he's a very, very likable, affable god, and very powerful. And so this is in saying how great he is and in awe of him.
The jungles of India and
Hey, hey, do. Tak ketika dari kita.
Well, if not, we're going to be performing our group dances at 12. But that's about it for now. Oh, yeah. Okay.
What do the flames represent?
Fire.
No, I'm sorry.
Well, fire is really, really important in Hinduism. And one of the reasons fire is so important is that we believe that's the only element, you know, of water, air, earth, fire. Fire is the only element that cannot be polluted. If you think about it, you know, yeah, probably if you smoke a cigarette, you're not. But other than that, you know, earth can be polluted, air can be polluted, and water can be polluted. But fire sort of just removes all the impurities that there is. So for us, fire is really, really important. So even our weddings are sort of consecrated around a fire. So you have like a pit in the earth, and then this fire, and the priest, you know, chants around it, and the couple sits around it, and that's what all. So fire is really, really important. And that's the same thing in this dance. You know, it's just because it's the whole dance is to Lord Krishna. You know, it's just appropriate that this fire, which is so important to us, to be presented to him. So yeah, it's like sort of worshiping him with fire. But good question. Thank you. Is that it? Okay, thank you, and see you all here at 12. Our whole group will be here. They'll be just, these are solos, but at 12 o'clock we'll have a big group coming, so they'll all be dancing. Thank you. Oh, it's 12:30? Oh, it's 12:30, I'm sorry. But we'll be here. Thank you.